supernatural, sacrificial, limitless love. Amen. I don't think we really understand how bountiful His love is for us. How marvelous His love is for us. Amen. And to the limits that His love goes for us and covers us and carries us and restores us. And, you know, the love of God is one of the most precious things you'll ever encounter in your life is His presence, His love, and the understanding that He truly does love you. Amen. Many of you in here believe today, He truly does love me. I don't just serve Him. I don't just say that, but He truly is head over heels madly in love with you today. Amen. God does just not love. He is love. God is the expression, the experience of love. And so in every area of our life, you know, we may go through struggles. And how many know we don't ever have to feel unloved or alone? Hallelujah. That the presence of God is constantly with us, there for us, in us, through us, around us. Amen. And it's boundless and bountiful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to be in His presence this morning. It's good to experience His presence. I mean, there's no substitute for presence. Not talent, not ability, not skill, whatever. There's no substitute for His presence in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for that this morning. Kind of been pondering some different things in my heart that of direction to go in the scriptures and still kind of looking up some things. I've got lots of scriptures this morning, just not sure where all we'll go with them. So we'll just jump in here and get started in just a minute. But I mean, no, this is gardening season. It's gardening season. It's the time of planting. Amen. It's a time of sowing. It's a time of reaping. But how many know harvest is not just a summer thing? There are things that are harvested all seasons, all year round. You know, it might not be, you may not harvest oranges here, but it's somewhere in another season, they'll be harvesting them in someplace else. Amen? So I believe that God's plan is always for planting and sowing and reaping. Amen? And I was thinking this week as I was trying to do a little bit of gardening. As I told you before, I don't have any soil. So it's hard to garden if you don't have soil. I have discovered that. I have found that out. And so I don't do any vegetable gardening. I miss that, but we don't do any vegetable gardening. But I have done a few little flower bed things, and not much, trust me. But, you know, I went out to the little roadside market out on 522 the other day that has like a little greenhouse. It has plants and things for sale. And they have a big sign up that says 50% off all of their plants out there because they're about 50% left. They're about 50% alive and 50% dead. Yeah, you relate with me, Robin. Okay. So they're like 50% alive and 50% dead. So they're 50% off. You know, but as I was looking at that and pondering that, they're still alive. They're still blooming. But how many know there's a difference between thriving and surviving? Yeah. Amen. And you know, the Lord really kind of had that on my heart this week. And again, I'm not really even sure where I'll go. I may just share a few things this morning and we'll go home. I don't know. But there, you know, in our lives, how many know there is a difference between thriving and surviving? In our Christian walk, in our relationships, in whatever it is we're doing, there is an element where you can survive, where you're still hanging on by the skin of your teeth, where you're making it through the day. Amen? But there is an element where you can be thriving in all the potential that you have inside of you. How many know inside every seed there is potential? And every in a deposit in every heart, there is potential there. And so often I see, as it were, people and circumstances where we allow ourselves to go through life sometimes surviving, but not living to the potential of everything that we can and everything that God has in store for us. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is an element, I think. And see, what happened with these plants is, you know, when you go to the greenhouse, you get that little pot And it has all them holes in the bottom, so all the water can run out of it so they don't get too much water. But what happens is as they set out in that heat and over a long period of time without being placed in an environment that is more growth friendly, they'll continue to live, but they will not thrive to the point that they need to do. How many know they need some good soil? So I bought a couple of those plants and I took them home and I put them in some pots where there was some soil around where they had something to feed on. There was some elements of nutrient in there. And, you know, they can be transplanted, even in this state, they can be transplanted into a place where they can be nurtured, where they can receive the sunshine, where they can be refreshed with rain, where they can be fed with vitamins and nutrients, where they can have a larger arena or a larger bed or a pot to thrive in. And how many know those same plants that looked like they were about on their last breath or about on their last limb or just about to fade out, how many know can be transformed and changed and brought to something that brings great beauty just by putting them in the right environment and the right elements in their life. How many know environment in your life is very important? The environment that you live in and the environment that you thrive in is very important. How many know there are places you can live in and thrive, but there are environments you can be living in and survive, but not live to the potential of everything that you can be. How many in here want to thrive today? I don't want to just live a life of surviving. You understand what I'm saying? You know, Dr. Lynn talks a lot about time. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I don't just want you to live. I don't want you to just be a weary pilgrim passing through. I don't want you to just get through this life so that maybe one day over yonder, there'll be great reward. How many are thankful for the great reward and the over yonder? But I want to live my best life now. I don't want to miss out on anything that God has for me right here, right now, in this day, in this time, and in this season of my life. Amen? I want to produce fruit. I want to be alive. I want to be full of life. I want to be living to the best of my potential. Amen? But in order to do that, I have to have myself in the right environment and the right elements in my life. Hallelujah. How many of there are sometimes that there are things that you can involve yourself in, you can connect yourself to, that can suck the life out of you? Amen? Do you believe that? Too much exposure to the sun will burn them up. Yeah. Amen. Too much water will drown them out. Yeah. Too much fertilizer will kill them. Yeah. But the right blend of the right elements and all of the things in our life. How many know, you know, I always love this scripture where Philip, the scripture where the Ethiopian eunuch is in the chariot and he's in the court of Queen Candace and they're on their way to Jerusalem. And he's reading out of the scriptures of the song, out of the scriptures of Isaiah. And then the Spirit of the Lord speaks to Philip, I believe it is, and he said, go join yourself to his chariot. And when he joins himself to his chariot, he sees that he's reading Isaiah, and he said, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I without someone to teach me what it's saying? And how many know Philip has opportunity to minister to him and share the gospel with him? And he said, what does hinder me to be baptized? How many know he was enlightened because somebody joined themselves to his chariot? And how many know in our life we need to have connections? We need to join ourselves to chariots that are going to cause the word to come alive in us, cause us to be enlightened by the scriptures, and not just even, see, it's not enough to just get tickled and go home, but how many know there is a staying, keeping power of the presence of the Holy Ghost that I don't want to just come and get touched. I want to come and be changed so that when the word and the scripture is open to me and my eyes are open to it, I say, I can't just stay here, but I got to be baptized. What's holding me back from being baptized? What's the next step for me? What does God want, and what can I step into next? How many know his eyes were open? He was enlightened because somebody connected or joined himself to him who was life-giving. How many know everybody needs a Philip in their life? Everybody needs somebody that you can just hook up to their chariot from time to time and say, what's God saying to you? What is the scripture revealing to you? What's coming alive to you? What is it that God's saying? Hallelujah. And how many know when we come together in the house of the Lord, we come to join ourselves together. That bone to bone, sinew to sinew, anointing oil to anointing oil. How many are glad that all of us in this house are not the same? Thank God for that. Amen. We are not the same. We're not the same calling. We're not the same ministry. We're not even the same expression. And that's the wonderful part about it. How boring it would be if we come together and everybody was exactly the same. Amen. In the sense that we can draw from the resources of the house, of all of those that are in the house. How many know that there are different giftings and callings and anointings in the house of God? And when we come together in his house, there is a freshness. There's a flow that's fresh and it's new and it's healing and it's an anointing. Hallelujah. But how many know environment is very important? And how many know... I was thinking about, I'm going to go to Genesis 24 here in a minute. Caleb, you can go ahead and bring that up. But how many know presence brings provision? Presence brings provision. Hallelujah, in our life. And I was thinking about environments and thinking about even in our homes, the environment and things that we create in our homes. How many know we're in charge of the environment in our home? How many know you are mood setters? In the cave of Adullam with David, how many know the scripture? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. He was in the cave with 400 men in a bad mood. That's what the scripture said. They were discouraged, discomforted, and downtrodden. They were gloom, despair, and agony on me. But how many know David had the ability to change atmospheres? He had the ability to change moods, to set to set the atmosphere wherever he was. How many know, first and foremost, David was a shepherd and he was a worshiper. He knew the power of worship. He knew the power of a harp. And the harp in David's life was way more powerful than his sword, I believe, ever was. Amen? Hallelujah. But David had the ability and the opportunity to choose in that cave whether he wanted to get into the same circumstances or atmospheres of those in the cave or change the atmosphere. I mean, we're responsible for the atmosphere and the moods of our own life and our own heart and our own circumstances. How many know sometimes you got to make a conscious decision to change the environment where you're at? Hallelujah. And if you want the environment in your home to be godly, if you want it to be uplifting, if you want it to upbeat, set that atmosphere, create that atmosphere. How many know there are elements in our life that need to be present in our homes, in our lives, to cause us to not just survive, but to thrive? Hallelujah. So I want to go to Genesis chapter 24. And with the thought that says, is there room in your father's house? Hallelujah. Is there room in your father's house? And it says for visitors, for strangers. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Genesis 24 and start at verse 10. Now this is the portion of scripture where Abraham is getting older. And he doesn't have an heir. And he sends Eliezer, his servant, to go find a wife for his son Isaac. And he tells him, don't go back to the land that I came out of. If you're going to look for a spouse, don't go backwards. Go forwards. Go to the land that I have promised you. Go to the land of my inheritance. Don't go back to the land of idolatry that I came out of. How many know that'll preach itself? Hallelujah. How many know even when we're looking for a helpmate or a spouse or something like that, we need to look for someone who has our same common interest. Yeah. Amen? And so he sends him to look for his wife. And so Eliezer goes, and in this scripture, in my Bible here, it says, the characteristics of a model servant of God are pictured here. He is dependable and trustworthy. He is a praying person. He is so in earnest that he refuses to eat before attending to the master's business. He never speaks his own name, but is always speaking about his master. He gives God all the glory. It says, this chapter is highly illustrated of God the Father, who sends forth his Holy Spirit to win the consent of the individual soul to become the bride of his Son. Keep these resemblances constantly in mind as you read and see how the story unfolds. First meet the Father and note his concern about his Son's bride. Then get acquainted with the Holy Spirit's great selfless heart, whose one purpose is to win the girl for his master's Son. Then meet the Son and note his tenderness as he claims his bride. The longest chapter in Genesis is devoted to this important story. Genesis 24 and verse 10. And he says, and so Eliezer puts his hand under the thigh of Abraham, promises him that he will do everything that Abraham is asking. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Now, if we were to look at Eliezer as a type of the Holy Spirit that goes out to seek the bride, it says the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. How many know Eliezer had at the disposal everything that his master had? Anything that he needed, all the wealth of Abraham was at the disposal of the servant of Abraham. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. How many know there's something attractive about a woman with a pitcher on her shoulder? Now, I'm not just talking in the natural. I'm talking about, how many know this is, number one, this is a girl who's not afraid to do something. She's not afraid of work. She also is in charge of the refreshment of the family, the water supply, the resource to quench the thirst. And she had a pitcher upon her shoulder. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. In the Amplified, it says, and the girl was very beautiful and attractive, chaste and modest and unmarried. And when she went down, to the well, filled her water jar, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again under the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a gold earring of half a shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for thy camels. So when he comes, he says, Lord, make provision, and the woman who comes to bring water, let her also water my camels, and if she does, I'll know that she's the one that you have chosen for my servant. And so when Rebekah comes out to the well, she offers the man a drink of water, as it was the place for the women to do, and she offers to water the camels. And the question to her is there room in your father's house for my presence? Now remember that Eliezer is a type of the Holy Ghost, or symbolic. At times we can look at him as a type of the Holy Ghost. What she's saying to Rebekah, is there room in your house for my presence? Is there room in your house for me to dwell? Is there a place for me in your house and in your environment and where you live? And how many know we have to ask ourselves that question from time to say, is there room in my house for God's presence to dwell? How many know if we're not careful, our lives can become so caught up and so crowded and so crazy and so chaotic that sometimes we've gone through days and days and realized we've not had conversation with God. We've not stopped to have prayer time or reading time. And all of a sudden we find out we really haven't had room in our house for his presence, because we're so caught up in the chaos of the day. Anybody there but me? I'll raise my hand. I have those days sometimes when we can get so caught up in our busyness. And sometimes it's good busyness. Most of my day, it's good busyness. It's productive busyness. But it gets crazy sometimes. It gets chaotic sometimes. And how many know the very best thing I can do is stop and pose and pause for a while and say, Lord, I just need some me and you time. I just need some praise time. I just need some song time. I just need to talk to you today, Lord. I need to know your word. I need to know, what are you saying, God? Where are you leading? Where are you directing? I'm going to make room today, Lord. I'm going to make room in my house for your presence to be real and alive and a part of me today. Hallelujah. One day this week, I just went out and sat on the porch swing, and I got my Message Bible, and the humidity was low, and the breeze was wonderful, and I just sat on the swing, and I just read my Bible for a little bit. It's just such a soothing, calming, wonderful time of that quietness. How many know sometimes it's hard to just find a quiet place where the phone isn't ringing, the TV isn't blaring, the dishwasher isn't roaring, the washing machine isn't spinning, and all of those things in our life are going on. But how many know sometimes you just got to clear the clutter a little bit and say, Lord, I just need your presence. Hallelujah. And you know, I mean, Rebecca was in her daily servant. She was all about the servant. She's doing what she did every day. Man, you need water, I'll get you water. The camels need water, I'll get the camels water. What needs to be done today, I'll take care of it. Whatever it is needs to be done. But in all of that, Eliezer, the Holy Spirit, speaks to her and says, but is there room in your father's house? Is there a place for me to dwell in? She said, oh yeah. Oh yeah, we've always got a place for you to come in and dwell in our house. And what I love about this is when she begins to make preparation and she goes back and tells her family about this guy that's here. How many know in his presence there was also provision? And see, what I think sometimes we forget is in God's presence, his provision flows from presence, I believe. I believe his provision flows from presence. And sometimes I believe we cut off the supply of his provision because we don't allow ourselves the presence to find out his direction of what even he's saying to us. How many know sometimes you got to give God some space to say, God, I need to know your direction. How many know sometimes in our provision, God, I need provision. I need you to supply this need. But we don't wait long enough or give him time to say, you know what, if you'll go such and such or do such and such, it'll all fall into place for you. How many have ever been in a place and time that you needed God's provision? And God just steps in the middle of that and leads and directs you in such a way that the provision is there. You didn't know where it was going to come from, but it was there. Hallelujah. And so he said, is there room in your father's house for me? And so when Eliezer comes back to the house, he sits with them and he goes through the story. He tells them the whole story of everything that he had told Abraham and how God had provided everything that he'd asked for. How many know, sometimes I think we look at the plan of God in our life, and as it begins to fold into place, comes the realization that, God, you really are going before me. You really are ordering. How many know that the scripture says that the steps of a righteous man are what? Are ordered of the Lord. Do you believe that today? That the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. How many ever went to do something for the day and found out that in the midst of your steps, that God had you in a specific place at a specific time for a specific reason, for a specific need, and used you as an instrument of his healing or his grace or his mercy just in the midst of your normal everyday living. Hallelujah. That sometimes we think we're on a mission of our own only to find out that God has put us in a place to speak a word in season that can cause someone to thrive and not just survive. Hallelujah. And so he puts in our hearts and in our mouth a word in season. Hallelujah. And he sets up opportunities, I believe, for the provision of God to come into our life. Amen. And so as she made room in her house for the presence of this servant, hallelujah. How many know she set herself up for opportunity of blessing? Opportunity of connection to her beloved. Opportunity of blessing. Opportunity of finances to come into her, into her life. It says in verse 48, I'm going to drop down there a little bit. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. Now, if you'll deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee good or bad. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. How many know he said, when he came into her to inquire of her, it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard the words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah, and he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning that the camels are coming. The camels are coming. Somebody got that. The camels are coming. Can anybody receive that this morning? The camels are coming. How many know she did not serve in vain? She served out of everything that she knew. She gave. She served. She gave water. She fed. She took care of the camels. She did everything that she needed to do. And how many know in that the camels were standing waiting for somebody that said, Lord, just send me somebody that'll come to the well, that'll have a heart that'll say, I'll give you to drink and I'll give your camels to drink. And how many know the scripture says that when she decided to go and when they released her to go as the bride of Isaac, he said, and the servant brought back, Eliezer brought back, the Holy Ghost brought back to Becca and brought her gold and jewels and bracelets. And not only was she blessed, but her mother and her brothers and her father were blessed with precious things. Can I tell you this morning, because of your faithfulness to serve God, your faithfulness to respond at the voice of the Holy Ghost, your faithfulness to stand in a place where you need to stand, I'll tell you, the camels are coming and they're bringing their gold jewels. And I'm not just talking about finances and riches, but I believe those things come. I believe those things come to those who trust God. But I'm going to tell you, there are precious things coming. And those things that are more precious to me, how many know I stand in a place where I will serve, not because I want finances, but I want the precious things. I want my household saved. I want my children blessed. I want my grandchildren to rise up and call him blessed. I want my house to serve in a way that they'll take care of the stranger. They'll take care of the wave, not only the stranger, but they'll bless the camels too. And in blessing, they'll be blessed. How many know I want my kids to live where they don't come to mom and say, Mom, I need you to pay my bills. I want my kids to live where they say, I know who God is. I know who my source is. I know where my provision is. I know where my blessings come from. I want to tell you, those are the precious things. Those are the things that are important in our lives. How do we get those things? We create an atmosphere. We make room in our house for the presence of the Holy Ghost to reside, to live, and to dwell. And when the Holy Ghost and the presence of the Holy Ghost is in the house, how many know the Holy Ghost comes with an entourage of camels that comes saying, I'm blessings. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you the blessings and the good things of life. Hallelujah. I'm going to cause your seed to rise up and be blessed. I don't know if you think this is a blessing or a curse, but he said, we're going to pray, Rebecca, that you're going to be the mother of thousands and millions. How many know the mother of thousands and millions begins with one? Hallelujah. It begins with one. And being a mother of thousands and millions doesn't necessarily just mean what you birth out of your own loins. How many know every time you tell somebody about Jesus and they find their way to Jesus and you've birthed somebody into the kingdom, how many know that you begin the birthing of the mother of thousands and millions into the kingdom? And as you begin to bless seed and bring seed into the kingdom, how many know the blessings come rolling back over and over and over again? I want my house to be blessed with precious things. Yes. Hallelujah. I don't care about bangles. I don't care about jewels. I don't care about those kind of things. But I do care about my kids. I care about my family. I care about my brothers, my sisters. I care about that. I care about the family unit. I mean, no, I have a concern and a cry in my heart for the family unit. Yes. I don't want to see the breakdown of the family unit. How many know we need each other? We need to stay connected. Hallelujah. We need to make room in our house for his presence. Because I'm going to tell you, his presence will do more in a moment than you can do in a multitude of months of sermons and lectures and speeches. You can tell them all you want to, but when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of them. Hallelujah. How many know when the Holy Ghost begins to speak? Blessings come. Provision comes. Multitudes come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because Rebecca was willing to serve. Because she was willing to make room for his presence. Because she was willing to find him space in her house. Hallelujah. The multitude of blessings come. He said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless your family with precious things. Hallelujah. How many are ready for your family to be blessed with some precious things? Hallelujah. I'm ready for the precious things. More to be desired. Or, you know, the scripture says the judgments of the Lord are more to be desired than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Hallelujah. How many know his judgments are not against you? His judgments are in your favor. If you go to the judge and the judge drops the gavel and says the judgment is in favor of you or the defendant, how many know that's a good thing? His judgment in your life is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. How many know he was judged for you at the cross of Calvary and the judgment is in your favor? Hallelujah. And that's to be desired than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. How many know Solomon sought for pleasure. He sought for fun. He sought for it in everything. He said, I found out it is vanity. And as Pap would say, a vexation. And it's a vanity and vexation spirit. Vexation is the word. Hallelujah. But see, you all been listening because you knew what Pap said too. Pastor Jack, he'd say vexation. Hallelujah. How many know it's all vanity and all vain? The scripture I was reading about the Shunammite woman. When the prophet came by her house, the scripture says she was a great woman. Another translation said she was a rich woman. She was well off. She was well to do. Hallelujah. And he said, she said to her husband, you know what? I'm feeling like we need to make a room in our house for the prophet of God. So that anytime the prophet of God is in town, anytime the prophet of God is in the area, he can come into our house and he can eat with us and he can sleep with us and he can reside with us. I want a room where the presence of God can dwell in my house. And how many know she made a special room for him? And anytime he was passing through, that he could stop in and visit the house of this Shunammite woman. How many know it will do you good to make a space in your life and a space in your house for the presence of God to reside anytime it wants to stop in? Hallelujah. And he said to her, he said, you've been very kind to me. You've blessed me in so many ways. What can I do for you? Would you like me to speak to the captains? I could speak to the king about you. I could get you fame or fortune. I could get your honor before the king. What would you like from me? She said, nah, I'm content to dwell among my own people. I mean, no, there is something to be said for contentment. There is something to be said that I'm just content where I'm at. I'm all right just where I'm at. I don't need the voice of kings. I don't need the fame of the rich and the famous. I got money. I got resources. What I really desire is the man of God to reside in my house. What I really desire is the presence of God in my house. Really, I don't need anything else other than your presence in my house. And because she made room for him, she had a need she didn't even know she had a need of. She'd already bypassed it and figured, it's probably not going to happen for me. But he said, what could be done for her? And her servant said, I know what she needs. She needs a baby. She doesn't have a baby. And how many know the man of God speaks to her and says, about this time, this season of next year, you're going to embrace a baby. And she says to him, I love this. Don't lie to me, man of God. I've been good to you. Don't you get my hopes up. Don't you tell me stories. Don't you lie to me, man of God. said, no, you've been faithful. You've been a servant. Your camels are coming. Your blessing is on your doorstep. I've seen your faithfulness. I've seen where you've made room in your house for the presence of God to dwell. Your blessing is coming. And how many know about that season next year? She held a little baby boy in her arms. But it wasn't very long until that little baby boy had grown to a young man. He was out in the field and he fell sick. And they carried him in and laid him in the lap of that mama, and he died in her lap. And I love this because she said, in another translation, not on my day and not on my watch. I told you, man of God, don't you lie to me. And if you're going to promise me something, if you're going to give me a seat, I'm going to hold you to it. How many know that woman, she girded up her camel on her chariot. She said, I want you to ride. I don't want you to slow down until I say slow down. I don't care if you hit a bump. I don't care what you think. I want you to ride because I'm going to see the man of God. I need to be in the presence of the voice of the man of God because circumstances are not going to change my mind from what God promised to me. I don't care what you're holding in your arm that looks like it might be dead. If God promised it to you, it is yours. You saddle up your chariot. You get your horse. You ride until you get to the man of God. And when the man of God says, I'm not even sure what's coming, but something's up. He says, is it well with you? It's well with me. Is it well with your family? It's well with me. How many know your words have power? I'm not even going to let this upset me, but I'm going to hold you to your word, man of God. And how many know he came back and he breathed life into what seemed like it was a dead, dying circumstance. Is there anybody in this house today that says what I'm looking at looks like it's dying and not living, but I refuse to settle for anything less than what God promised me? I'm going to make room in my house. I'm going to set up the table. I'm going to fix the bread. I'm going to make provision for God's presence to live in my house regardless of what I see with my eyes, regardless of what it looks like right now. I'm going to make room in my house for his presence. Is there room in your house for us to dwell? Is there room in your house for his presence? Because unbeknownst of you, when you just open your door to his presence in your life, he begins to do things that you never thought possible. He begins to do things that you didn't even know. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, you look up on the hills and you see the camels are coming. And when the camels are coming, they're coming for you. They're coming to bring you blessings and spicings and provision that you didn't even know belonged to you. I mean, sometimes I think we settle for way less than what God wants us to walk in. We settle for surviving when we could be thriving. Hallelujah. How many know Rebecca didn't know that just on the horizon of that day, the blessings of God were about to overtake her. And she was about to be carried away to meet her beloved that would cause her to be mothers of thousands and millions. Hallelujah. Do you have it in you today to be mothers of thousands or millions? It seems like a lot when you say it like that, but it only begins with one. It only begins with one act of obedience, one act of response to the Holy Ghost. When he shows up at your well and said, let you and I connect. Let you and I get together. Come on back to my house. Reside in my house. Live in my house. Hallelujah. I'm running out of time, but you know the story of Obed-Edom. Anybody remember who Obed-Edom is? The ark of God's been taken captivity. It's been held hostage. How many know the ark of the covenant was the very presence of God in the midst of the camp of the Israelites? And when it was gone, how many know it was a very long, dry season? Hallelujah. Is there room in your house for his presence? And so when the ark begins to come back, they put it on a cart and they start to bring it back And how many know nobody but the high priests were allowed? The priests were the only ones allowed to handle the ark, and they weren't to touch it. They were to put poles on it, carry them poles, and it personified the magnificent power of Almighty God. And how many know as the ark began to come back and the mercy seat began to come back into the house, into the camp of the Israelites? Hallelujah. How many know there is no living without his mercy? Hallelujah. His presence in our life. And as it begins to come back, it says the cart starts to stumble, the oxen starts to stumble, and the cart looks like it's going to go down. You ever been in a place in your life where it looks like the cart is wobbling? It looks like the cart is stumbling, and it looks like it just might go down. It looks like it might not work out the way we thought. And what happens is we want to put our hand to it and stabilize it and guide it and direct it and maneuver it where we think God wants it to go, when if we'll just keep our hands off of it, God's got it under control. How many know God? Uzzah dies because he puts his hand and touches the Ark of the Covenant. Hallelujah. How many know I'm learning more and more to take my hands off of what God is doing and let him handle it, because he's God. It may look to me like it's out of control. It may look to me like it's going down. I may not look like the way it's going, but he's got it. Can I tell you today, he's got it. He's got it. Hallelujah. And so when he puts his hand to it, strikes him dead, now nobody wants it. What are we going to do with it? I don't want to take it to my house. You're going to take it to your house. Nobody wants to take it to their house, because now they're fearful and afraid and disillusioned. They don't know what to do with it. But I love this, because Obed-Edom says, I'll take it. You guys don't want it? I'll take it. Hallelujah. And so he takes it to the house of Obed-Edom. And when he gets it to his house, he keeps it in his house and stores it there. And the scripture says, and the house of Obed-Edom is blessed. And then the word gets out that the house of Obed-Edom is blessed, because they're housing the mercy seat. So David says, go get it and bring it back. Hallelujah. Can I tell you this morning, the house of Obed-Edom is blessed because he made space for the presence of God to dwell in their midst. Hallelujah. And I don't know how the story played out, but here's my little quick synopsis. He takes it in the kitchen, all of a sudden everything in the kitchen's working out good. I don't know where he stores it at. Maybe he takes it to the kids' room, and all of a sudden the kids start acting all right. You take it to the barn and the animals, they're producing good. The flock is looking good. And lo and behold, maybe he takes it to the bedroom and everything there is working out okay. And he takes it to the room where he does the billing and the finances. And because, see, that sounds funny, but that's how the presence of God works. It'll work in your basement. It'll work in your barn. It'll work in your kids' room. It'll work in your bedroom. It'll work in every area of your life, if you'll dare just take it home with you. Hallelujah. If you'll dare just take it home with you and make a space for the presence of God in your midst. And lo and behold, Obed-Edom didn't say, well, you know what? I need some finances. Maybe if I take it home with me, I'll get finances. He took it home and finances just found him. Blessings just found him. All of a sudden, the blessings are pursuing him. He's not pursuing blessings. They're pursuing him. I love it when blessings want to overtake me, when they want to pursue me, and I've quit making apologies for the blessings in my life. I just say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That just gives me more opportunity to bless somebody else. Amen. How many know blessings come finding you? Hallelujah. Is there room in your Father's house for me to dwell? Hallelujah. If you want it in your house, incorporate it. Invite it. Bring it. Store it. Keep it there. Because in presence comes provision. Hallelujah. And the blessings will pursue you. You won't have to pursue them. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to birth something in us. And I want us to take this word today. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand up on your feet with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. You know, I believe that God spoke to us at the beginning of the year in this house to begin to pray for families and pursue families and you know, our children and things like that. And I still am holding on to that. I'm in pursuit. I'm on campaign. Hallelujah. For God to do in our houses. How many know there has to be households of faith, strength, structure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That God begins to use us in such a way, hallelujah, that not only the blessings, what I love about it is not just the blessings came to Rebecca, but her household, her mom, her dad, her brothers, her sisters, her family were blessed with precious things. Hallelujah. So whatever your desire is today for precious things, hallelujah, they normally don't have a monetary value, but they have value in your heart. Hallelujah. And so as we sing today, hallelujah, let's just lift up our hands and let's just make room for him today in our hearts, in our church, in our service today. But let's make it a mission to make place in our homes. Hallelujah. For his presence to dwell. For his presence to act. For his love, his grace to move. Hallelujah. Maybe it means just push something else out of the way for a little bit. And just have some family time. Just have some quiet time. Just have some Jesus time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's just lift our hands today and say, Lord, we just make room for you today. Hallelujah. We just make room for you today, Lord, your presence in our life and in our midst, God. Hallelujah. And I prophesy over this house today that the camels are coming. Hallelujah, that the camels are coming. And God, they're bringing precious things. They're bringing salvation to our kids. Hallelujah. They're bringing healing to marriages. Hallelujah. They're bringing salvation, God. They're bringing jobs. Lord, they're bringing closeness. Lord, they're mending broken hearts. Father, relationships that have been torn apart or circumstances that, God, that look like they're dead. God, we hold you to your word. Hallelujah. And we prophesy, Lord, that the camels are coming in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And it comes, God, because we make room for your presence. We make room for your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every name that's on every mind in this place today, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, for that daughter who seems like she's distraught, God. Seems like she's lost her way, God. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every son who seems like he's trying to find himself, God, whatever the struggle might be in Jesus' name. I say the hold of circumstances are broken, God. Lord, we refuse to just survive, God. I just say we're going to thrive, Father, according to your presence of your Holy Spirit, God. Every marital relationship, God, that seems as if it's strained, God, I call forth your anointing and your power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everyone in this house, God, that seems like maybe they have lost their way and can't seem to find it, God, I just pray right now an encounter of your presence. An encounter of your presence, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, those whose body is racked with pain, that God, your vision seems some kind barred and obscured, and God, it seems as if you're from a very far distance. I pray right now, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, a healing to mind, soul, body, and spirit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone in this house, God, maybe that seems like they've been distant. Hallelujah. Lord, we just make room for your presence today, God. We receive from you, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, you are precious to us. God, I believe you're restoring precious things. Hallelujah. God, I believe that that you're restoring precious things right now, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. I pray for encounters, Lord. Lord, I just pray you show up in dreams and visions, Lord. Hallelujah. I pray you show up in conversations, God. With her.